From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Thursday edition, last night, the second batch of Democratic presidential candidates squared off in Detroit, Michigan, and once again, making illegal immigration legal was at the top of their list of priorities.
The only way that we're going to guarantee that we don't have family separations in this country again is to repeal Section 1325 of the Immigration and Nationality Act.
That was Julian Castro. Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs, who was on the border yesterday, joins me for a closer look at what the Democratic candidates are proposing. And climate change was also prominently featured last night, with California Senator Kamala Harris saying,
"We must have and adopt a Green New Deal."
There was plenty of fear-mongering last night on climate change. Dr. Cal Beisner, founder of Cornwall Alliance, is here with the chilling facts about what is really behind the left's climate crisis push. Also, more evidence of big tech anti-conservative bias. After approving LightSight News for Apple News, Apple abruptly removed them from the news aggregator with the explanation that LightSight's channel, quote, didn't comply with our Apple News guidelines, end quote. Specifically, they stated that LightSight's, quote, channel content shows intolerance toward a specific group, end quote. What group? Well, John Henry Weston, editor-in-chief, is here later on Washington Watch with more. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. Let me remind you to mark your calendar. October the 11th through the 13th is the Values Voter Summit here in Washington, D.C., where conservatives from across the nation gather as we prepare for engagement in elections, in the culture, in everything around us. To find out more about how you can be a part of this premier gathering of conservatives, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right, as I said, last night, At the second Democratic presidential candidate debate in Detroit, there were definitely some fireworks on the issue of our southern border. A number of the more liberal candidates who are calling for the decriminalization of illegally crossing the border took aim at Joe Biden, the frontrunner, former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Julian Castro said, "Decriminalizing the border is a must as the Trump administration rips children away from migrant parents." Play cut five.
"The only way that we're going to guarantee that we don't have family separations in this country again is to repeal Section 1325 of the Immigration and Nationality Act. That is the law that this president, this administration, is using to incarcerate migrant parents and then physically separate them from their children."
Joining me now is Congressman Andy Biggs, who represents the 5th District of Arizona and serves on the Judiciary Committee as well as the Science, Space, and Technology Committee. He just returned from a trip to our southern border where he was both in New Mexico and Texas at ports of entry. Congressman Biggs, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks for having me.
Will decriminalizing the criminal act of crossing into our border solve the problem on our border?
No, in fact, it'll make it worse. The draws and incentives for people to come would grow greater. And by the way, Mr. Castro is misstating what happens with families and separation anyway. But I'm just telling you, even though the numbers have slowed down, we're still pushing 95 to 100,000 apprehensions a month right now. Think about that. And that's a slowdown. So Mr. Castro is all wet on this one, that's for sure.
Now, let me ask you this question about the Mexican authorities that have stepped up their efforts both on their southern border and then on our southern border. Are you seeing the effects of that?
Yes, there is some effects, and everyone on the border gives them credit. The problem was their 45-day deployment was up this week, and we need the president of Mexico to redeploy those men and women of the Mexican military to make sure they're there. We saw them on the border. I saw them many places on the border as I was driving around and hiking around the border. So they're really having a deterrent effect in some respects.
Now, what about the status of the wall. We see like three different types of walls. I think you saw that in New Mexico, at Columbus, New Mexico, the port of entry. Describe what that looks like.
Well, you have, in some places, you have the actual fencing that the president's trying to get through. And he's having some success replacing the next kind of fencing, which was kind of this Normandy-style fencing. It's metal crossbars, and they go to they're designed to stop vehicles. And then there was this other kind, two other kinds in Columbus that were really weird, Tony. One of them, they were about two feet off the ground and wouldn't really stop anybody. And then we had another one with these weird-looking posts about 3 feet, 3.5 feet apart, maybe further even, that you could drive a motorcycle through very easily. You could walk through, and just we couldn't figure out who designed it, who authorized it, who paid for it, who put it up, and it was just it was a waste of money and time and effort.
Congressman Biggs, you know, a lot has been said in recent days about the border, the agents on the Border Patrol agents, and those that are securing our southern border. What was the morale like among those that you visited?
Well, morale is tough, but I mean, these men and women are professionals. They're doing a great job down there, and they all were dedicated to their mission. They believe in the mission of securing the border. They believe that's their job. They want Congress to support them. They want the president to support them. They want the public to support them. But I'm just telling you, they were frustrated and angry as well, but not towards everyone, but to those who are making false accusations, which there's a number of them in Congress. But I will tell you, I was pleased with what they were doing. I've been down there multiple times. I didn't see anything different than what I've normally seen. Sometimes you have during the surge, we had overcrowding, but they were clean. There's food, there's water, there's hygiene. Look, these men and women save people's lives. And you know what? There's a bit of a us against them kind of mentality, but it's not against everyone. That us against them mentality is just with those limited people in Congress that castigate them, but they're professionals, they go about their business, and they do it in the right way.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona, my guest in this segment, kind of going through dissecting some of the comments made over the last two nights regarding immigration and the effort by some to decriminalize the illegal act of entering our country by some of the Democratic presidential candidates. I think we have a clip here I want to play from night before last, Senator Elizabeth Warren describing what she saw on the border. Bobby, play that clip for us.
The problem is that right now the criminalization statute is what gives Donald Trump the ability to take children away from their parents. It's what gives him the ability to lock up people at our borders. We need to continue to have border security, and we can do that. But what we can't do is not live our values. I've been down to the border. I have seen the mothers. I have seen the cages of babies.
Did you see cages with babies in them?
No. There's no cages with babies in them. And the only time that there's ever even fencing up in some of these units is the initial point so that you could segregate people. You know, you've got young adolescent males, you've got young males, and it's very briefly, but there's no segregation of a child from their parent unless a couple things happen. They discover that there is there's criminality, there's a warrant or something like that because the parents are criminal, the child's at risk with this person. And sometimes you have children who say, I don't even know who this guy is. And that's what we see happening. But even those are the testimony in Congress just last week is that all of those except for one have been reunited. And they were separated solely for the purpose of these things that I was telling you. It's not safe for the child. If we're going to apply that across the board in the United States of America, then you might as well just decriminalize every act. Because every time a police officer makes an arrest, there's a separation between the right. parent and the child if there's children. So,
yeah, I made that point actually yesterday on the program. You've got hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands of children that are actually in state custody because their parents are incarcerated here in this country. That's happening right now. Happens every day.
That's exactly right. And I'm just telling you, these people who make those comments, I don't know what they saw at the border. I've been down the border many times. I've been to detention facilities multiple times, both before, during, and after the search. I know what it looks like. I know what happens. And I'm just telling you that it's fabrication for political purposes, and I do not know what Elizabeth Warren's talking about.
Give me this, Congressman Biggs. As you know, after your trip, you went to a few different places. What are your major takeaways?
Well, the first thing is we really still have a crisis on the border. Number one, because we're still processing and apprehending 3,000 plus people a day in this country. One facility I was at. This is the most remote place that I've ever been to, perhaps in my entire life. And we actually have a port of entry there. And you have to go out of your way to get there. And they had 225 people dropped off by someone in the middle of the night. The port of entry is only open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. because it's so remote. And they had 225 people there. That had come in, and they had just transported them to the nearest station an hour and a half away. That's ridiculous. We talked to one agent who's been exposed to mumps, measles, scabies, lice, hepatitis A, B, and C, and a flesh-eating bacteria that they haven't been able to identify in the last couple months alone from this. We saw videos of drug dopers, they're carrying these drug loads in. It is amazing that it's still happening on the border. It's amazing that the Democrats are talking about decriminalizing and further incentivizing people to come across our country and enter it illegally, receive free health care benefits and everything else they want to give them. Tony, I have people down there that came away after we met with local law enforcement ranchers. They were depressed, angry, frustrated, and committed on doing things to help us solve the border crisis.
Truly amazing. What a contrast from what we heard from the Democratic presidential candidates the last two nights. Congressman Andy Biggs, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks for sharing with us what you saw on our southern border.
Thanks, Tony.
All right. Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona. My plan possibly during the month of August is actually to go down there myself. I've been invited multiple times, just have not been able to work it in. But with Congress out, I might try to get down there and see it for myself. All right, coming up next, we talked yesterday about the Google camp, the Green Google gathering to talk about climate change. Well, that again featured prominently in last night's debate. What's really behind the left's clamoring over climate change? Dr. Cal Beisner joins us next to break it all down. Don't go away. Back with more after this.
Happy birthday to you.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Are you concerned with the state of our nation? Do you want to protect and promote religious freedom, the sanctity of life, free speech, and our children's educations? Today we see a growing threat against our values on the news, on our college campuses, in our elementary schools, at our public libraries, and in our courts. Every year in Washington, D.C., thousands of conservatives attend FRC Action's Values Voters Summit. From October 11th to the 13th, come to our nation's capital to mingle with and hear from key conservatives who are bringing real change to Washington, D.C. And learn how you can, too. FRC President Tony Perkins will be there, along with Ali Stuckey, Bill Bennett, Dana Lash, Oliver North, and U.S. House and Senate leaders. The 2020 elections are right around the corner, so this is one weekend you won't want to miss. We provide free scholarships for students. Register online at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808. That's 1-877-372-2808.
Are you looking for timely and honest coverage of the latest news? Do you find it difficult to sort out what is true and what is false from the media? Family Research Council is here to help. FRC President Tony Perkins' daily Washington Update email newsletter addresses the most important current events affecting religious freedom, the protection of life, marriage and family, and more, not only in Washington, but around the world. The Washington Update's daily articles cover a range of topics, from underreported stories about transgender activists' efforts to infiltrate our schools to updates on court cases fighting for religious freedom, parental rights, and the protection of life. Don't miss this critical, in-depth analysis of the day's most essential stories that are shaping our nation's future. Learn more and subscribe by visiting frc.org/update. Again, that's frc.org/update.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. Remember, the Values Voter Summit coming up October the 11th through the 13th. Mark your calendar now so you can be a part of it. All right, I talked about this yesterday, Camp Google, a conference where influential people are getting together to discuss how they can make the world better. It's hosting the likes of former President Barack Obama, Prince Harry, Leonardo Capio, DiCaprio, Katy Perry, all in Italy. And prominently featured in their discussion is climate change. But their gathering may come at a steep cost to the planet. As we talked about, the Italian press reported that to get there, the Google campers took about 114 private jets. And that doesn't count the private yachts that also made their way there. But while they were over there spewing carbon, CO2, into the atmosphere, we had the Democratic presidential candidates fear-mongering over climate change. Here is a little bit more of what Senator Harris had to say last night.
We currently have a president in the White House who obviously does not understand the science. He's been pushing science fiction instead of science fact. The guy thinks that wind turbines cause cancer, but what in fact they cause is jobs. And the reality is that I would take any Democrat on this stage over the current president of the United States who is rolling it back to our collective peril. We must have and adopt a Green New Deal.
We must adopt a Green New Deal, really. Well, here to talk about this is Dr. Cal Beisner, founder of the Cornwall Alliance for Stewardship of Creation, which is a network of over 60 Christian theologians, natural scientists, and economists. They champion biblical earth stewardship, economic development for the poor, and the proclamation and defense of the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. You can find out more about them by going to tonyperkins.com, following the links over. Dr. Beisner, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thanks very much, Tony. Great to be back with you.
So is that what we need? We need the Green Deal?
Well, Benjamin Zeicher of the American Enterprise Institute toted up the costs of actually doing all the stuff involved in the Green New Deal. And we come to a little over $9 trillion, not total, but per year. And actually, the impact on global temperature by the end of this century would be too small to measure.
See, that's
the Green New Deal really ought to be called the Green Bad Deal.
Well, that's the issue. All that they're proposing, you can never measure it. I mean, anybody who you know sets goals, you understand they have to be measurable. You've got to be able to measure them to tell whether or not what you're investing in if you set a goal, the effort you're investing in it, the resources you're investing in it, is actually bringing a return. You can never do this with what they're proposing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the reasons that the costs are so high is that though they do, you know, though there are the direct costs of retrofitting buildings and replacing all kinds of infrastructure and all the like, they forget to count the cost of building the constituency, the alliance necessary to get the direct things done. To do that, they're going to have to embrace also such other parts of the Green New Deal as universal health care, free college tuition, a variety of different things. Those are
now, you're not saying they're trying to bribe. You're not saying they're trying to bribe constituencies to come along with it with all these extra goodies.
Oh, that would never happen in Washington, would it, Tony?
Yeah, no, it wouldn't. Look, the fear-mongering last night, I mean, from, you know, a house on fire with Governor Inslee to run for the hills with Mr. Yang, I mean, it's as if the sky is falling. In fact, let me play this clip of clip number three of Mr. Yang.
The last 4 years have been the four warmest years in recorded history. This is going to be a tough truth, but we are too late. We are 10 years too late. We need to do everything we can to start moving the climate in the right direction, but we also need to start moving our people to higher ground.
All right, so we're to head for the hills?
Yeah, well, you know, and talking about people who don't understand the science of climate change, when he says that these are the four warmest years in human history goes back a little bit. And whereas these are perhaps the four warmest years since we began gathering global temperature data using satellites from up in space, which we only started doing 40 years ago, they are surely not the warmest years in human history. During the medieval warm period of the 9th through 13th centuries, and the Roman warm period of the 1st and 2nd centuries, and the Minoan warm period a few hundred years before that, temperatures were probably at least what they are now. And then what's called, what geologists call the Holocene climate optimum, rather, of about 6,000 years or so ago, temperatures were much warmer than today. And the cool thing about the warmth is that the warmer the world is, the better plants grow, and the more food there is for all the animals and people. So actually, warming is a good thing. Humans have thrived better in warmer conditions than in colder conditions. Just ask why people are moving, when they get old and a little weak and so on. They tend to retire in places like Florida and Arizona, not Minnesota and Alaska.
Well, let me ask you this question, because he says, well, we're 10 years too late. And, of course, we have the night before we had Governor Pete, or Mayor Pete, saying that, we got 12 years until we're all toast, essentially, I'm paraphrasing. But we measure climate movement really in centuries, not in years and decades, do we not?
Right. Yeah, that's correct. I mean, climate is long-term average temperature and wind and precipitation and so on over large areas. Weather is short-term and it's over smaller areas, and people altogether too often confuse the two. And so they'll look at a heat wave in Europe early in July as evidence of long-term climate change, and it was nothing of the sort. It was actually just simply heat moving up from the Sahara, and it was balanced by cold moving down from the Arctic in Eastern Europe and the Eurasian area. Mm-hmm. That's a basic mistake in meteorology, but unfortunately it's very common among climate alarmists.
Well, Dr. Beisner, we're out of time. I hate to be cool towards you, but we got to cut off this conversation. We'll pick it up again later another time. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tony. God bless.
Don't go away, folks. We're back after this.
Did you know that Planned Parenthood was using taxpayer dollars to perform abortions? Recently, the Trump administration made changes to a healthcare policy called Title 10. The changes to this policy now eliminate the loopholes organizations like Planned Parenthood were using to receive taxpayer funding for abortions. Planned Parenthood was hiding behind terms like reproductive health care and services like cancer screenings and contraception distribution, while in reality, they were making money off of abortions. This shift in funding will benefit community health centers that provide needy families with family planning resources and health services, regardless of their ability to pay. It will also benefit pregnancy resource centers that provide care and free resources to women who may be experiencing an unplanned pregnancy. This policy decision is the right move to help and protect American lives. To learn more, visit frc.org/Title 10. That's frc.org/Title 10.
Hi, my name is Bailey. I am serving as an intern at Family Research Council, and it has been a life-changing experience. Interns join FRC's team of experts as they embark upon the mission of advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a biblical worldview. The FRC internship is a 12 to 15 week program designed to educate and inspire university students who are passionate about public service and who believe that a biblical worldview is fundamental to the reformation of government and culture. As interns, we receive the opportunity to work alongside and be personally and professionally developed by FRC's team of experts. This paid internship offers free housing in the heart of DC, which allows us to be fully immersed in the fast-paced political climate and to build a community with other faithful conservatives in our nation's capital. For more information and to apply, visit frc.org/internships. That's frc.org/internships.
Tony Perkins, and you're listening to Washington Watch, the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you miss anything on your way home, you can find it all at TonyPerkins.com, the podcast right there. All right, a little over a week ago, Apple approved LifeSite News to be placed on the Apple News platform. That's kind of their aggregator of news, and you can select kind of what news you want. Well, LifeSite News is a pretty prominent news source. We use it. I use it. They have about 5 million page views per month. Well, without warning, Apple abruptly reversed course, telling LifeSite that they had deleted their channel and all of their content from the Apple News platform. Why? Well, joining me now to talk about it is John Henry Weston, the co-founder and editor-in-chief of LifeSiteNews.com. John Henry, welcome to Washington Watch.
Great to be with you, Tony. Thanks for that.
Well, it's a great resource. I use it a lot. And so, I mean, it makes sense that Apple would want it on their platforms because people, you know, are looking for it. Why did Apple delete it?
I wish we knew. Amazingly, they basically approved us. It was actually a six-month process, a lot of back and forth with Apple about what was going on, why we couldn't get on. But after about 6 months, they approved us in July, and then we went with a public announcement on July 22nd, and then we just got this email that says, your channel's been disabled, your content's been removed from Apple News, your channel didn't comply with our Apple News guidelines. And then the only guideline after the colon was, channel content shows intolerance towards a specific group. No explanation, no nothing else, just removed. And we've asked for an explanation and got nothing.
Well, I mean, I said before, I've read your content. I mean, I read it, I use it. I've never detected anything in there that would suggest to me that you're going after any particular group of people. It would suggest to me that you're telling the truth about certain things that are happening in our culture that maybe some people don't like.
Well, absolutely. We've been running now 22 plus years since 1997 online, and we have been faithfully providing pro-life, pro-family news coverage from around the world. We've got reporters all over the world. The weird part is, I mean, I don't know what kind of intolerance towards a specific group. unless, you know, it's Tim Cook's definition of conservatives that he wants to kick off. He said a little while ago that he was not opposed to removing people, for instance, who are not on his side of the environmental debate from his platform. And maybe he's now targeting all conservatives, and this is a first go at LifeSite News.
So you believe this is just more of what we've been seeing recently, the anti-conservative bias by the big tech platforms?
Absolutely so. And that's why Facebook, Google and so on, there's massive concern out there. In fact, you yourselves, as well as MRC, are involved in this great free speech alliance that is really needing to voice the concerns of Americans about this big tech control or monopoly, if you will, over free speech on the Internet.
So, John Henry, how can our listeners, Washington Watch listeners that are all across the country, how can they, what can they do to possibly help LifeSite News?
Well, we've got a petition that we just put up yesterday to Apple to try and really get them to see the number of conservatives out there, and not even only conservatives, but free speech activists who will not tolerate this kind of discrimination. And so since yesterday, we have 20,000 signatures already, and lifepetition.com is the place where the signatures are being held, this is going out to Apple. And hopefully we get a real good number of people who will be able to show Apple that they just can't get away with this.
Well, we certainly will encourage our folks. Give that site again where the petition is at.
LifePetitions.com. And it's there right at the top of the page. You'll see the petition right away. And really, I think Americans really need to stand up now. Otherwise, we're going to see this crush on free speech.
I think you're absolutely right, and you want to take action before it's too late. I mean, once it's upon you and you have lost your speech, your free speech rights, you can't fix it at that point. So you got to do it when you see it coming.
Absolutely, and we are now seeing it. If you haven't seen it yet, you're seeing it now. And this has been going on for some time. That's why I've been so grateful, Tony, for what you're doing, for your part in fighting for free speech on the Internet, and free speech really in society, because this isn't only limited to the Internet.
Right.
This is being done in job situations and in governments, as we can see every single day. So we really need to make our voices heard. The sort of sleeping giant of America needs to be awakened right now in order to fight this.
All right. Well, John Henry, we stand with you. We're going to encourage our listeners to stand with you as well. And again, thanks for the great work you do at LifeSiteNews.com.
Well, thank you so very much, Tony, and all your listeners, and may God bless you.
All right. Thanks so much. John Henry with LifeSiteNews.com. So you can go to TonyPerkins.com, and we've got some links there, or it's really easy, LifeSite, S-I-T-E, news.com. A great resource. I'm often asked, what are resources? You hear them on this program, CNSNews.com, LifeSite News, Christian Post, different ones that we work with, that we trust. And so this is one of them. All right. So weigh in, help them out. Send that, help sign that petition going to Apple. All right. When we come back, I got a few more clips to play, but I'm going to take your phone calls, especially those of you who suffered through the debates the last two nights, or if you want to weigh in on it, we'll take your call. 866-372-7234 when we come back.
We live in a time of great political division, and this division only intensifies during campaign season. The toxic tone in politics can be discouraging, which makes it a very real temptation for many Christians to wipe their hands of politics altogether. After all, if God is sovereign and controls the heart of the king, as Proverbs says, do we really need to get involved in the messy world of politics? Because political engagement can be divisive, shouldn't Christians abandon politics and direct their energies toward more spiritual pursuits? Christians are called to submit every area of their life to God, which includes how they engage in politics. But they are called to engage biblically. This requires Christians to be prepared to follow their political theology to its logical end and vote for candidates and parties that support clear biblical values. For more information on the Christians' call to engage in politics, visit frc.org/engage. That's frc.org/engage.
Radical abortion laws in New York, Illinois, and Vermont are challenging the sanctity of life. These laws have lifted the few existing restrictions on abortion in the name of family planning and mental health of pregnant mothers. Americans need to take a stand and defend the rights of the unborn. Family Research Council is sending Congress 90,000 baby hats as a reminder that babies should be welcomed with love and warmth, not potential danger. Supporters have already funded over 45,000 hats. We are over halfway there. Join Americans across the nation and donate $9 to send a powerful reminder that young lives need to be cherished. When you take action, we'll send you an end birthday abortion certificate that will remind you to pray for born alive babies who are facing the danger of being killed outside the womb. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com for more information. That's endbirthdayabortion.com.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council here in Washington, D.C., and I would like to invite you to join my wife, Luana, and I, along with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, for FRC's Israel Tour, June the 2nd through the 12th, 2020. Whether you're sailing on the Sea of Galilee, standing in the ruins of Capernaum, or journeying up to Jerusalem, Israel is unlike any other place on earth. You'll relive the final earthly days of Jesus as you pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. You look upon Golgotha and stand in the Garden Tomb. The reality of his story will come alive in a transformative way. This one-of-a-kind tour will not only allow you to explore the land of the Bible and the roots of our Christian faith, you'll also hear firsthand from some of Israel's political, defense, and religious leaders. Join us June the 2nd through June the 12th for this life-changing experience. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155. Welcome back to Washington Watch. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. I just have a great time keeping folks across the country informed, and I just want to thank all of our Washington Watch listeners, especially those that email in. I do read those emails and grateful for them. Some of you have called in. I get those messages as well. But if you want to email me, tony@tonyperkins.com, love to read them. Appreciate you listening. And I want you to share the information. I mean, we do this program. It takes a lot of time, energy, resources to do it. But we know that you're not getting this information elsewhere. And so we bring you, as you heard earlier, Congressman Biggs, who had just been on the border, countering what was said last night in Detroit, Michigan, from the Democratic presidential candidates that are fear-mongering. And so where else are you going to get that? You're certainly not going to get it from the mainstream media. By the way, be helpful to get our app, Stand Firm. Get the Stand Firm app, and that way you'll have everything at your fingertips that you need to be an engaged citizen. All right, I want to play one more clip before I go to the phones. By the way, 866-372-7234, talking about the Democratic presidential debates, the 20 candidates that squared off over the last two nights. I want to go to the governor of the state of Washington, Governor Inslee, who, again, Jay Inslee, again, fear-mongering over climate change.
This out. The time is up. Our house is on fire. We have to stop using coal in 10 years, and we need a president to do it or it won't get done. Get off coal. Save this country and the planet. That's what I'm for.
Get off coal. I doubt he's going to carry West Virginia. But let me think about that for a moment. And I didn't even have time to get in to this discussion with Cal Beisner. We have, and look, I am, full disclosure, I'm a conservationist. I believe we should take care of the environment. I love the outdoors. I spend, when I'm not in D.C., I'm outside. I love to be outside, biking, hiking, hunting sometimes, fishing, but just love to be outside. And I also think we need to take care of the environment. I remember as a kid the commercials about the dirty water. The Native American who was in the canoe and had the tear running down his cheek because of the trash in the waterways. You know, we have made massive improvements. by cleaning up the waterways and the air. We have reduced emissions significantly, and there's clean coal, and we have the technology, and we can continue to improve the technology without artificially raising utility cost, cutting down on which would eliminate jobs, drop the quality of living, of life. I mean, this is what we're talking about. And they're not discussing the consequences of what they're proposing. So anyway, let's go to Joe in Ohio. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Mr. Perkins, for taking my call. Thanks for all you do. Didn't get a chance to listen to last night's debate much, but I had three distinct takeaways from the first night of debates, and that was Ryan and Williamson, neither one put their heart on their hand on their heart during the national anthem, so I thought that was pretty telling. Bernie Sanders didn't sing the national anthem until I actually realized he was on camera. I thought that was very telling. And my favorite takeaway from the first night debates was when Bernie Sanders says, "I have a poll showing me beating Donald Trump." And one of the candidates said Hillary Clinton had polls showing her beating Donald Trump also. I thought that was a great line. So I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Thanks for being a faithful listener. I didn't see the first part. I came in a little bit late, so I didn't see that. What stuck out to me most prominently about the first night was Bernie Sanders and how angry he is. I mean, he is an angry white guy. And, you know, you hear all this about conservative white men being angry. He is angry, and you hear it in his voice. And it's kind of interesting as these guys and gals are, you know, looking like they're trying to outdo one another to be more liberal. As Terry Jeffrey on here yesterday said, whoever thought that Joe Biden would be the right wing of the Democratic Party? But, I mean, he seems like the only sane one in the group. Let's go to I want to play one other clip. We're going to go to the phone. I got John in Mississippi. John, hold on there. 866-372-7234. I want to play this clip of Congresswoman Gabbard and Harris over the marijuana.
But I'm deeply concerned about this record. There are too many examples to cite, but she put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana.
We have wanting to decriminalize crossing the border. In the last two nights, it's also come up about decriminalizing marijuana. Listen to this. I know it's difficult, and I know not many conservatives are watching these debates because I can tell by the activity on Twitter, not too many people are watching it. But you should watch it at least, you know, you can watch 5-10 minutes of it, and it'll show you what's at stake in this next election. John in Mississippi, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes. How you doing, Tony?
I'm fine. Go right ahead.
Tony.
Yeah, can you hear me? John, can you hear me? All right, we're going to see what happened there. We had John in Mississippi. We'll get him back on there. Really, in all seriousness, pay attention. Watch some of this. Read some of it. It's better if you watch it because it's not then filtered by the news. All right, let's go back to John. John, are you there?
Yeah, how you doing, Tony?
I'm doing quite well. How about you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, something. I'm sorry, John. We're not connecting there. But as I was saying, I think it's very important to watch for yourself what they're saying and the policies that they are proposing. And it was kind of fascinating last night how Barack Obama was almost made out to be a right-wing conservative crazy. I mean, I know I'm exaggerating, but it was Obama didn't go far enough. And let me go back and check the last, 8 years of his presidency. He was the most aggressive liberal leftist ideologue that we've had in the White House. And look what he did to them. I mean, his social experimentation that he thrust onto our nation's military, forcing of taxpayers to fund abortion, destroying our health care system. It's already in bad shape, but he almost finished it off. That wasn't progressive enough for many of these candidates. All right, let's go to Joseph in Junction City, Kansas. Joseph, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead, Joseph.
Yes, I'm in Kansas?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Oh, okay. Tony, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you, I thought I heard something recently about the Republicans taking measures to cut down on voter fraud as far as this next election. Have you heard anything?
I have. I mean, obviously there's concern with every election when it comes to voter fraud, especially what we saw in California, which actually wasn't voter fraud what happened, because they actually changed the laws to allow for ballot harvesting in California. So one of the things we got to watch for is how these election laws have been changed. But I do think it's very important, especially for those in states all across the country. This is driven more by the local, or I said the state, parties. And they can put in place poll watchers. And so I would encourage folks to check in with their state parties and volunteer to serve as poll watchers on Election Day. And most likely, if you're listening to this program, your poll is not one that's at risk. Most likely, you should volunteer to go into some of these places where the voter fraudulent activity is more likely. In fact, one of the things we were discussing, and we've floated this with some of the parties, is that this would be a great thing for military veterans to volunteer to do, essentially poll watching to ensure that there is no fraudulent activity that takes place on Election Day. Joseph, thanks so much for the call. And folks, do be mindful that is an issue. It's a big issue. All right, we're going to try John one more time here in Mississippi. John, can you hear us now?
Yeah, I can hear you real good.
All right, go right ahead.
How are you? All right, thank you. I think the thing would come – I got actually two things to say. First of all, the Democrats are doing anything they can to get Democratic voters, and they don't care what they do to America, how they destroy it, they want the power. And Kamala Harris with this situation, smoking marijuana, and then putting marijuana people in jail. When we really look at it, that shows the person has no integrity, really. And you got all of the candidates, Democrat, they just don't love this country. They won't put their hand on their heart. They won't sing. And these are the kind of people. I mean, they're very, very, there's a word for it, but they're not non-patriotic. And if you're going to, I say to the old Democrat, if you allow someone like that to get into the government, something's wrong with you. You need to pray.
All right, John, thanks so much for the call. Those are character issues. And character matters. I mean, in a free society, it works not because of external restraints. You know, you can't make someone love this country. You can't make someone do what is good for the country. It has to come from within. And in fact, obeying the law only works when you want to obey the law. And that's what John Adams said, one of the founders. You know, our Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. We've got to have that self-restraint. And to lead the country, we have to have people who love the country and what it is about, what it's founded upon. And that is a big concern I have, where you see a lot of these that are like Bernie embracing socialism. Let me correct myself. Democratic socialism. It means you get a vote in socialism. All right, let's go to Max in Georgia. Max, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thank you for giving me this chance, and thank you for what you do. I just wanted to to make a comment about possibly why the Democrats have gotten so left in these with these candidates. And I think really the majority of the people running for president in the Democratic side, they really want to come in second. I don't think the majority of them really think they have a chance of winning, and may not even really want to win the nomination, because I think they recognize that Trump is going to get reelected. And so they want to get out there and get all this publicity at the expense of donors so they can sell books and get speeches. And by being extremely liberal, they attract the activist group who will extend those invitations and buy those votes. And so I think that and I think you see a little bit of that on the Republican side in the last few elections. Folks that are running that aren't really seriously considering themselves electable, but they want that publicity and they want that audience for other agendas that they have, book writing, speaking, and other things of that nature, other media opportunities that might come up. So I think that is something we're going to see in the next few years because of the tremendous media opportunities. Look at Bernie Sanders. He's wealthier now than he was 4 years ago, no doubt about it. So that's just a theory I have. I don't have any hard data, but I wanted to share that with you.
All right, Max, thanks so much for the call. I actually think you are accurate to a large degree. I've been around politics for 25 years, and I've often wondered why some people run for office knowing they don't even have a chance. And there's some of those candidates in this in the 20-plus run that Democrats have put together that this is a platform for them. They're unknowns. They've held no public office. Not that that is necessary to run for president, as we saw with Donald Trump. But quite frankly, that's what a lot of people said about Donald Trump, that he was just working to expand his brand and so on and so forth. But I do think that that is true in some cases. I would not say that all of the candidates would fall into that category. I do think they definitely want to stop Donald Trump. I think Joe Biden, he doesn't – I think he clearly is running to win this. I don't think we should there is a major, colossal, epic, think of all the adjectives I can to describe the battle that is raging for the future of America. And it's really what America will be. And we cannot take anything for granted. We need to be informed. We need to be engaged. We need to be sharing information with our friends. We need to be encouraging to be involved. And look at the policies. Go beyond the personalities and look at the policies. Look at the policies that are being proposed by the Democratic Party. Look at the policies being proposed by the Republican Party and the candidates. And how do they line up with your values? And more importantly, how do they line up with the values of Scripture? That's the kind of stuff we're going to be talking about in the weeks and months ahead. All right, folks, sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls. Out of time for today, but thanks so much for joining us. Check out the website, tonyperkins.com. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.